NPR News.
It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to Raven Radio KCAW in Sitka. Today is Tuesday, April 30th, 2024. I'm Brooke Schaefer with Raven News. The Assembly is responsible for only two city staff hires, the municipal administrator and attorney. When the group met on Thursday, they interviewed two candidates for the attorney position. Anne Marie Billingsley is a graduate of the Lewis and Clark Law School in Portland, Oregon, with a focus on environmental law. She's been practicing law in Alaska for 14 years, six of them as an attorney for the Fairbanks Borough from 2017 to 2023. T. Wayne Carey is a graduate of Cumberland Law School at Samford University in Alabama. He's been practicing law in Alaska since 2001, most recently as the borough attorney for the North Slope Borough in Utqiagvik. Before that, he was the assistant district attorney in Nome. When asked about their biggest accomplishments as attorneys, Billingsley listed two: a mobile home tax collection effort in Fairbanks and helping develop the legal contracts for the Alaska Public Library Network's book sharing program.
I think it's awesome to go to the library and be able to get books from all around Alaska. I think that was just a really great achievement, though my role was, you know, in drafting the contract, not in coming up with the concept.
When asked the same question, Carey pointed to his promotion to the top attorney position at the North Slope Borough.
I must admit, I was proud to become the borough attorney after spending time at, you know, being at the borough as long as I was. That was an achievement, starting at the bottom and rising to the top.
When asked about what draws her to Sitka besides the job, Billingsley said she'd spent some time in the community when she sent her daughters to the Sitka Fine Arts Camp.
And I've accompanied them and stayed in the dorm and sort of got to live a Sitka life while they were at camp in the mornings. And I was able to run on your trails and sort of get out into the community and meet and talk to people. While I haven't spent extensive amounts of time there, I think I have a pretty good handle on the things that you're talking about, climate and what Sitka has to offer.
Carey had never been to Sitka, but said he was ready to make it his home.
You know, the borough, I was here for 9 years. Before that, I was kind of 2 years or less at jobs. In Bethel, I was there for 3 or 4 years. So I'm ready to get somewhere and settle down, just get into a job where I can do a good job, help the community, you know, make a difference.
After spending about an hour interviewing each candidate, the assembly went into executive session. After around 30 minutes, the group returned and Mayor Stephen Eisenbeis said that the hiring process is moving forward. Whoever the assembly hires will replace municipal attorney Brian Hansen, who is retiring this summer. You can find a link to the full candidate interviews on our website at kcaw.org. The Sitka School Board will meet in special session this Wednesday, May 1st, to adopt a budget for next year that reduces staffing in the district by 18 positions. With schools closing around the state following the governor's veto of the education bill, the loss of 18 positions in Sitka is a relatively optimistic scenario. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
The board met in a work session for over 3 hours Saturday morning to take the temperature of the public and to guess how much one-time extra funding, if any, might be coming from the state legislature. The board settled on $500 per student. Although that number is purely speculative, incoming Superintendent Deidre Jensen argued that it minimized damage to students compared to the alternative of $340, which is the amount that arrived last year after the governor vetoed half of the full appropriation of $680. Among the criticisms leveled against the board during the work session was that it was irresponsible to give a 6% raise for teachers this year. Incoming president of the Sitka Education Association, Joe Montagna, defended the raise, saying that at the time of union negotiations this spring, there was momentum in Juneau to increase education funding permanently. House Bill 140 eventually passed by a near unanimous vote of the Alaska legislature. Governor Dunleavy, however, vetoed the bill, sending districts across the state into a financial tailspin. If negotiations were this year, said Montagna, there's no way we would have sat here with a straight face and asked for a 6% raise. Montagna offered to forego his extra duty contract to help the district make ends meet. The district has taken some extraordinary measures to close the budget gap. The school maintenance department has been moved under the city for a savings of about $600,000. The Blatchley pool is also going to the city, and although revenue neutral, will free up staff time. There's $300,000 in funding from the marijuana tax available every year, but voters approved it exclusively to support student activities. No school buildings will close in Sitka this year, but it's a distinct possibility for next. The Sitka School Board has made it clear that the only room to make cuts now is in staffing. Assuming the state comes through with an extra $500 per student this month, that still means 18 positions will be cut in the district. Non-tenured teachers will get pink slips on May 3rd. Tenured teachers who are being let go will get non-retention notices on May 13th. District administrators have started shuffling the remaining tenured teaching staff to try and cover classes. Blatchley Middle School Principal Ben White said, "We are not going to offer the quality of education we've been able to offer in the past. There are no two ways around it." Some variables are still in play. The district is hoping to save money on health insurance premiums, for example. There are bills in both houses of the legislature that could send enough money to stave off disaster, but whether the governor signs them into law is the biggest unknown of all. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Before the bear season gets rolling, a group of Wrangell High School students has been working at the Annan Bear Observatory, about 30 miles from town. They've been collaborating with the U.S. Forest Service to set up live bear cameras. KSTK's Colette Zarnecki joined them on one of their trips to get a sneak peek at their project.
Our captain drops us off at the trailhead at Annan Bay. It's a sunny and dry day, but the ground still feels moist. After all, we're in the Tongass National Forest. From the boat, it's about a quarter mile hike to the observation deck.
If we did see a bear, we're going to group up.
Jen Cardiac is the Annan camp manager for the U.S. Forest Service.
I'll start talking to it, and then I'll gauge if we need to back up to give it some room to either go up or down. But most important, don't scream or don't run, and we all stay together.
Cardiac is leading us along the gravel trail that winds through the trees. There are 6 high school students today, but 14 have been working on the project. Claire Froelich is a park ranger with the U.S. Forest Service. She says getting the work done before bear season picks up makes it easier on everyone.
With the bears and everything, it becomes harder because then every trip, point A to B, is its own challenge of safety and everything. And then getting large equipment out here for bringing a bunch of solar panels. All of those things need to happen now.
A drone flies past the deck and overhead above the swiftly flowing river. Students are getting visuals of the area to find the best spots to set up live cameras. Jackson Carney is a freshman in high school, and it's his first project with the group.
We want a fish cam, we want one up here, and we want another one somewhere. We're not 100% sure about the place.
Junior Andrew Eden started working on Annan this past December. He says the ultimate goal is to get 5 cameras installed, but this year they're focusing on just 2.
I really love this planning phase, but I really do want to push forward to installation, just like get everything ready, keep moving. And then, of course, next year we're going to have another challenging project within this project still.
That's phase 2, where they will be setting up a camera about 2,000 feet northeast from the observatory deck at Upward Falls. The students split into 2 teams of 3 and start working on their goals: power, Starlink internet, 12 solar panels, and camera placement. As they're discussing where to place conduit connections, Cardiac gives a few suggestions. She says to make sure the wires are in metal because bears love anything that has a plastic, oily taste.
Just be cognizant that bears are like puppies. They will chew on everything.
She also has a fun suggestion on where to place one of the cameras.
Now we want to not only provide the viewing opportunity of the salmon, because it can be really cool to see the bear claw come in and catch a fish when the camera's focused on it, but also now
just for outreach, because there are people that will never make it to Alaska.
Brian Reggiani is here with the University of Alaska Fairbanks Upward Bound.
One of the things that we found that really makes a difference is these community impact projects. So anytime that students can be working on a project that helps their community, it really helps them with buy-in, and they're really excited to learn and grow and help out.
Freshman Madeline Davies joined the program about a month ago.
We've got a lot of measurements for like where we can place solar panels and their wires, like how it's going to run unseen.
Yeah, we got some ideas on how to like connect everything and how it's all going to work out.
And that's 10th grader Kaylee Herman. They're working together as a team. The students decided to place one camera showing the caves where the bears like to hang out, and the other will be an underwater fish camera. They also ordered all the equipment needed to complete the project. Besides the bear cams, Edens and other students also designed a Forest Service cabin at Little Lakes in Wrangell. It will be constructed this summer. The students will eventually earn a badge, which is a type of engineering certification that says they worked on a large project. They'll also get engineering credits. In Wrangell, I'm Colette Zarnicki.
I'm Brooke Schaefer, and this has been Raven News.
This is Morning Edition on Raven Radio, KCAW, Sitka. It's 1 minute after 8 o'clock.